Just a quick note, this episode of The Indicator is about Facebook, and Facebook is among NPR's financial supporters.
NPR.
From a PR perspective, Facebook is having what you might call a hard time lately. It was already facing an ongoing antitrust lawsuit. Then a couple of weeks ago, an anonymous whistleblower leaked documents that show the company knew it could be harmful to kids, especially girls. And all this came right around the time that Facebook was about to launch a version of Instagram for kids.
This Sunday night, the whistleblower revealed herself as a woman named Frances Haugen, and she appeared in person on 60 Minutes. She worked at Facebook for almost a couple of years, starting in 2019. And she says that the company is destroying our social fabric.
The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence around the world.
But Facebook does have billions of users around the world, and they don't all watch 60 Minutes or read Wall Street Journal exposés. And for a lot of them, the company's really unpardonable mistake happened yesterday. That's when Facebook and its other services, Instagram and WhatsApp, were down for hours. No instant messenger, no status updates, no cute cat photos. The company received tens of thousands of complaints. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Sally Herships in for Stacey Bannock-Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today on the show, we visit what some might consider the dark side. When you're a company and the perception is that you've done something really bad or you're failing your consumers, how do you heal the breach? And the answer is corporate crisis management.
Call in the suits.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One with the Capital One Venture Card. Details at CapitalOne.com. What's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, NA.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Build a more diversified portfolio today at Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/indicator.
When corporations are responding to a public relations rough patch, there are best practices. But figuring out which ones to implement means figuring out what kind of crisis you're dealing with. Jeffrey Sharlock teaches management communication at NYU's Stern School of Business.
Is it a one-time event? Is it an oil spill that, you know, has a beginning and has an end, and then you can address it? So that's one kind of crisis.
And if you're part of an oil company, you've probably been preparing for this kind of event ahead of time. Like, take that big oil spill that happened this weekend off the coast of California. In the boardrooms of Amplify Energy Corporation, the company that spilled the oil, they've likely done a lot of preparation for exactly this kind of moment. And Jeff says that part of running a company is doing this risk analysis and being prepared for bad news.
You know, the best time to prepare for a crisis is, of course, well before it happens.
I mean, that is a wonderful thought. Hindsight is 20/20.
If only.
But Jeff isn't sure that what's happening right now with Facebook is actually a crisis. He says, yes, the company is navigating some turbulent waters, but the problems go far beyond just Facebook. Facebook and all of us across the globe are dealing with this big cultural and technological shift. Remember, Darian, when there was such a thing as a landline phone, like big?
I used to have one, yep.
But now, practically your whole desk and practically your whole life, it feels like sometimes, lives inside your phone. Jeff says if you want to assign blame, go back to 2007 and look at the iPhone and apps and all those things that initially made communication instant, cheap, and sometimes even free.
And so the challenge for Facebook in this situation, number one, is it's not one incident. It's not one thing they need to address. So that makes it more challenging.
But Facebook did address one issue this past weekend. In an interview on CNN's Reliable Sources with Brian Stelter, the company was asked if it was in any way responsible for the political division we're seeing now.
Sure. That's where I come back to the original question. Are you willing to acknowledge you've contributed to these woes in some form?
listen to how the spokesperson for the company, Nick Clegg, Facebook's vice president of global affairs, answers. Nick uses a classic strategy. He doesn't exactly answer the question he's asked.
Of course, the way that people exchange information is now takes place online. So, of course, we as one of the largest social media platforms have a responsibility to understand where we contribute to negative and extreme content, hate speech, misinformation, and so on. And, you know, I've explained to you already some of the, I think, really successful things we've done to bear down on hate speech. We work with fact checkers on a scale that no one else does in the industry to identify misinformation and then deprecate it.
So not answering the question is one strategy for managing tough interrogations, but there are others. Jonah Berger teaches marketing at Wharton.
What I would say strategy-wise is, you know, people talk a lot about strategies for changing the conversation. And that's one thing people talk about in spin, right? So I learned this myself, by the way. I wrote my first book a few years ago, and when I would do a media interview, someone would ask me a question, I would answer that question. And what you see smart folks do is they don't answer the question they're asked. They use the question they're asked to talk about something they want to talk about.
I'm suddenly feeling very unintelligent. I just answer the question I'm asked. I mean, is that what you do, Darian?
Well, now that you've asked a question about something or other that I forget about what you've asked for, but I think that now you've given me a platform that I can talk about how good I am at communication and strategy and spin, which Jonah has another politer name for.
At the core, spin is really framing an issue a particular way.
And Jonah says we all engage in a little spinning sometimes.
When we frame something that happened in a way that either makes us look better or worse, we're engaging in some spin. The challenge is the same issue, the same topic, the same thing can be framed many different ways. And so spin is really just taking a particular way of framing the issue that may be beneficial to the person doing the spinning.
Setting spinning aside, over at NYU, Jeff says Facebook, like other media companies, is in kind of an unusual situation. Almost all of Facebook's revenue comes from its advertisers, not its users.
If they were asking for my advice, which they haven't, I would be telling them to take the focus off Facebook and focus on the changes in the world and in technology and in communication.
And it's worth noting, that is exactly what Nick Clegg did in his CNN interview.
Well, I think it would be too easy, surely, to suggest that with a tweak to an algorithm, somehow all the disfiguring polarization in U.S. politics would suddenly evaporate.
Of course, there's only so much refocusing, so many clever, strategic question answering and non-answering that you can do, because demographics play a really big role in companies, and they may shape what happens with Facebook's future. Facebook is not necessarily the cool kid anymore. Some younger people do not even use Facebook. Now, it owns Instagram and WhatsApp, and that may be less of a problem in the future.
But for now, at least financially, the company is not hurting. Stocks did take a big dip yesterday after the hours-long outage, but the company's stock is already on its way back up.
That is the kind of status update that makes crisis communications go away.
Absolutely. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Julia Ritchie, was fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.